From the Radio Catskill Studios in Liberty, New York, you're listening to Farming Country. I'm your host, Kimberly Izar. It's Saturday, February 28th. Well, dairy education, food preservation tips, and emergency food assistance were just some of the topics at the 47th annual Wayne County Ag Day. Farming Country's Rosie Starr caught up with David Harding of the Wayne County Human Services about their five local food pantries and the many ways people can make a difference.
Another valuable way for folks to be able to donate is just through their time. We are always looking for volunteers.
Plus, this week we're in for a special treat with Keith Hubbard. He brings us the latest Star Talk report and joins us for a deep dive into the Big Bang Theory. What is it, and who came up with it? But first...
Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Windsor Johnston. Members of Congress are reacting to the joint military strikes carried out by the United States and Israel against Iran. Democratic Senator Tim Kaine spoke to NPR's Weekend Edition this morning.
My first reaction when I heard the news early this morning was, has the United States learned nothing from 25 years of unproductive wars in the Middle East? Have we paid no attention to the fact that it essentially cost us lives and treasure to no avail? And why would we put our sons and daughters back into risk for no legitimate reason?
Republican Senate Majority Leader John Thune is praising President Trump's decision, saying Iran's nuclear ambitions, expanding missile program, and support for militant groups pose a clear threat to U.S. forces and allies in the region. During his video address announcing airstrikes, President Trump hinted at regime change in Iran, encouraging Iranians to seize control of their destiny and overthrow the government. NPR's Jackie Northam reports.
President Trump told Iranians that the hour of freedom is at hand. For now, take shelter from the U.S. bombs.
When we are finished, take over your government. It will be yours to take. This will be probably your only chance for generations.
Trump promised Iranians will have the backing of the U.S.'s overwhelming strength and devastating force. It's uncertain if Iranians will heed his call. Trump made similar promises during the widespread protests in Iran earlier this year, but didn't follow up with any action. At least 7,000 people died, according to human rights groups, after the Iranian regime launched a brutal crackdown. Jackie Northam, NPR News.
Iran's state broadcaster says Iranian missiles were launched at U.S. military targets in four Arab Gulf states. NPR's Aya Batraoui reports the move is in response to airstrikes carried out by Israel and the U.S. on Tehran.
The UAE's defense ministry says Iranian ballistic missiles targeted the country, which hosts U.S. troops. The UAE said an Asian migrant worker was killed from fallen debris when air defenses intercepted the missiles. Iran's state broadcaster, quoting the Iranian Revolutionary Guard Corps, says the attack was aimed at the Al Dhafra Air Base in Abu Dhabi that hosts U.S. troops. The state broadcaster says Iran has also launched missiles at U.S. targets in Qatar, where the U.S. has thousands of troops at a sprawling airbase, and Bahrain, home to the U.S. Navy's Fifth Fleet, as well as at an airbase in Kuwait that hosts U.S. troops. No casualties were reported. Jordan, meanwhile, says it intercepted Iranian missiles targeting its territory. Countries in the region are closing their airspace for commercial flights. Aya Batraoui, NPR News, Dubai.
The attacks on Iran hit a school, killing at least 53 young female students. That's according to Iran's state-run news agency. This is NPR.
This is Radio Catskill. I'm Kimberly Izar. New work requirements for New York's SNAP food assistance program take effect tomorrow, and hundreds of thousands of people could be affected. The rules require many adults without young children to work at least 80 hours a month, participate in approved activities, or document that they qualify for an exemption. Here's Krista Hestorfer of Hunger Solutions New York.
If you're younger than 18, if you're 65 or older, or if someone in your household is younger than age 14, you also may be exempt if you are unable to work at least 80 hours per month because of a physical or mental health reason. If you are receiving disability benefits such as VA or New York State disability, or you're receiving or applying for SSI or unemployment benefits, you also might be exempt if you are pregnant, caring for a young child, or a person who's incapacitated. Drug or alcohol addiction treatment programs can qualify for an exemption.
Hastorfer says that older adults and people with disabilities are especially at risk, and the ripple effect of these changes will be significant.
SNAP is by far our largest anti-hunger program. For every one meal that a food bank provides, SNAP provides nine. So it's clear that food banks and food pantries can't simply fill the gap when there are these huge cuts to SNAP. They're already experiencing heightened demand since the pandemic, and especially as food costs have continued to rise.
You can find local SNAP help at foodhelpny.org or through your county social services office. This is Radio Catskill.
Support for NPR comes from NPR stations. Other contributors include the John D. and Catherine T. MacArthur Foundation, supporting creative people and effective institutions committed to building a more just, verdant, and peaceful world. More information is at macfound.org.
Support for Radio Catskill comes from Farm Arts Collective, located on Will-O-Wisp Organic Farm in Damascus, Pennsylvania. Farm Arts Collective's programs intersect the practices of farming, performance, food, and ecology. FarmArtsCollective.org. From the Community Foundation of Orange, Sullivan, and Rockland, a publicly supported philanthropic institution. Information at CFOSRNY.org. And from listeners like you, who donate at WJFFradio.org.
Welcome back to Farm and Country. I'm Kimberly Izar. Happy Saturday. I hope everyone is enjoying their Saturday morning today. We're kicking things off with the Wayne County Ag Day. It's an annual staple for farmers, producers, and agricultural enthusiasts to come together. And this was still the case this year for its 47th annual Ag Day in Honesdale. Farming Country's Rosie Starr was on the scene. She caught up with Dave Harding of the Wayne County Human Services to learn more about their farm to families food pantry. Let's check in with Rosie.
For Radio Catskill, this is Rosie Starr in Honesdale at the high school because it's Wayne County Agriculture Day in February. I'm inside the auditorium with lots of booths here, and one of them that caught my eye is about a food pantry. I'll let this gentleman introduce himself and tell us about what he's here to tell us today.
Hi, thank you. Yes, my name is Dave Hartung. I'm with the Wayne County Human Services, and we are a part of the Wayne County Food Pantry System. We're here today to let everybody know about the services that we have to offer and how we can help them and how they can also help us and benefit the community in general. So the Wayne County Food Pantry System has five different sites in Wayne County. We have pantries in Damascus, Lakewood, Lakeville, Newfoundland, and Honesdale. And Honesdale is also the site of our food bank. And so that's where we have all of our food that we distribute to all of our five sites. That's our central location and our largest food pantry distribution site. We run several different programs as part of our pantry system. So we run monthly distributions with our USDA food, which requires income eligibility. And we have that information on our website at waynecountypa.gov. And we also have that with our flyers, our pamphlets, have that information as well. And then we also run a donated food program, and that's what we call a pop-up program. And we put those donated items into boxes, and they are distributed to local community organizations such as the YMCA, Wayne Memorial's outreach program, several different churches around the Honesdale area, even Camp Freedom. And so these boxes are available for any people in the community that go to those locations that are in need. And because they're donated food items, that there's no income requirement, so they don't need to fill out any sort of paperwork or whatever. But if they tell the folks there that they're in need, they're able to access one of these food boxes. And then ideally, if they are in need and meet the income requirements, then they would be eligible and be enrolled into the food pantry regular distributions that occur monthly. And part of those monthly distributions is another program that we have called Farms to Families. And our Farms to Families food program is a fund that we have set up with the Wayne County Community Foundation that we use to purchase
fresh milk, eggs, and produce from our local Wayne County farmers. And so we purchase from those farmers at a wholesale rate. We put those into our food pantry distributions, and then monthly our food pantry consumers can access those nutritious, healthy, fresh products that are grown right here in Wayne County.
This is a very highly organized effort for the community, and it sounds like there's a lot of food donations. How else do you accomplish this? This is a major endeavor that you're doing. What about the finances?
So it is a major endeavor, and yes, we take all sorts of donations. As we say, there's a wonderful variety of ways that folks can help out our food pantry system. And so the most common one that everybody's usually familiar with is doing a food drive, right? And so we will take those items. Like we said, we have means to distribute the donated food that we receive, but we'll also take donations. And we take donations in a couple different forms as far as monetary donations. And that is, you can make a monetary donation to the food pantry system, because we always need a variety of different things through that effort. And that could be infrastructure sometimes that we need. We have used donations to go towards the boxes that we distribute all of the food in. We have people that have donated, and we've used it for shelving at our warehouse, at our food bank, because that infrastructure is important for us to be able to take in more food and distribute more food to our community. And so people can make monetary donations directly to the Wayne County Food Pantry System, or we have another avenue, and that is through the Wayne County Farms to Families program that I mentioned earlier, with that fund at the Wayne County Community Foundation. And that fund is specifically set aside for that sole purpose of purchasing that milk, eggs, and produce from our local farmers so that it goes to our local Wayne County people. And there's many different avenues for donations, for your support. And also, if you can't make a monetary donation, if you know you don't have food to donate at this time, another valuable way for folks to be able to donate is just through their time. We are always looking for volunteers at all of our pantry sites, particularly at our Honesdale site, because that's where we pack all of the boxes to go out to all the other distribution sites. You could contact the Area Agency on Aging. That is where our food pantry coordinator's office is, and the number there is 570-253-4262. And you can always access more information on our pantry at the WayneCountyPA.gov website. And there's also, I forgot to mention, and I shouldn't forget this, but another way to support us is through a program at Dave's Super Duper in Honesdale, and they have a roundup program. So they may ask you, when you purchase from them, would you like to round up to the next dollar? And that money goes towards our donated food program, and so they have an account there, and then we are able to purchase through them at wholesale or on sale rates so that we can replenish our donated foods through that means.
I am very familiar with the Roundup program at Dave's Super Duper. For folks that are very interested in donating actual food, what type of food should they be donating?
So we will take a variety of food. If you are going to make the food drive, it's great if you could reach out to us, because at different times of the year, we have different sort of needs that we're short on different things. Always good, though, to have vegetables and fruits. Also, to remember, if you could avoid giving us anything in glass, because we like to box up everything and distribute it through boxes. So the glass can then, you know, of course, break as opposed to cans. And if we will take, though, just about anything as far as any kind of non-perishable food item that you want to donate. Always good to have macaroni and cheese, pasta, proteins, tuna fish, peanut butter. Yeah, it could be pretty much across the board. We do try to make it as healthy as possible, so fruits, vegetables, proteins.
What kind of activity are you seeing from the community? Do you see a great need, and is that need growing?
There's been a need. The need has increased over the years. We haven't seen Any spikes recently? We did have our highest food pantry distribution numbers in the month of November. And if folks recall, that month was also when we had a state budget impasse as well as the federal budget issues that were going on at that time. So, and typically November and December are our largest food pantry distribution numbers. So we did have a bit of a spike at that point in time, but otherwise, for the last couple years, while they are higher than they were previously, but we've been pretty steady over the last couple years with our numbers.
What kind of challenges are you experiencing?
We have several challenges. We like to term it as challenges and opportunities, right? So we don't want to overextend ourselves. We don't want to count on things that are not renewable and sustainable. You know, so always trying to keep that in mind. Do we have the financial resources necessary to sustain a program? Do we have the infrastructure necessary to sustain a program? And do we have the people power necessary to sustain a program? And so those are all the things, right? When we talk about donations, we talk about volunteering. Most of our work is done by volunteers. We have approximately 20 to 25 volunteers at our Honesdale site currently. All of our satellite locations, the other four locations, completely volunteers that operate the whole pantry. So that's always something that we're striving to seek out new volunteers, and also funding opportunities and donations, always welcome.
You're so well spoken. I appreciate your knowledge. Do you have any events that are coming up that you'd like to share?
We do. We have our next fundraiser for our Farms to Families program, and that is going to be on the evening of March 13th. That's going to be from 5 p.m. to 8 p.m. at the Runaway Train Brewery in Honesdale. And there's going to be a large basket raffle there. And we do plan on having some of our farmers there, so you can meet the farmers that are growing the food for our pantry consumers that are also benefiting by being able to sell their products to the pantry system. And so we encourage everybody that wants to come out to come on out. It's for a great cause. It's going to be a fun evening. And that, again, is on Friday, March 13th at the Runaway Train Brewery in Honesdale from 5 p.m. to 8 p.m.
Where do folks get information for that?
So we are going to try to advertise that through a variety of ways. It should be on the local radio stations and also at our WayneCountyPA.gov. We're going to be advertising on our website and through social media as well. So look out for our Farms to Families stuff coming out on our Wayne County websites, our Wayne County Human Service social media. And also we have a Wayne County Farms to Families Fund website as well. So you can check that out too.
Thank you so much for taking the time to speak with us. Is there anything else you'd like to share?
I really appreciate the opportunity to share this information.
Thank you.
Thanks so much to Rosie for letting us tag along. You can find more information on the Farm to Families fundraiser David mentioned on their website. That's at WayneCountyFarmsToFamiliesFund.org/events. It'll be on March 13th from 5 to 8 p.m. at the Runaway Train Brewery in Honesdale, Pennsylvania. We'll take a short break, but when we come back, StarTalk's Keith Hubbard walks us through the Big Bang Theory.
Support comes from Damascus Citizens for Sustainability, fighting for clean air, land, and water since 2008, both locally and beyond. Information online at their Main Street storefront in Narrowsburg or their office in the Narrowsburg Union. DamascusCitizens.org.
Seasonal folk songs, recent releases, traditional songs about country and city life, the finest songwriters. The Wangaloo Monkeys with me, Graham Rice, is bursting with folk music from Britain and Ireland. Sunday afternoons at 3 on Radio Catskill.
Welcome back to Farm and Country. I'm Kimberly Izar. Well, you know what time it is? This week's Star Talk Report from Keith Hubbard.
For Farm and Country, I'm Keith Hubbard, and this is Star Talk. A difficult opportunity exists early Tuesday morning to see a total lunar eclipse. It will be difficult because the moon will be low on the western horizon at the time of the eclipse. You will need a clear view of the western horizon to witness the moon reach totality just before the moon sets. During a total lunar eclipse, the sun, moon, and earth align during a full moon.
Sunlight travels through Earth's atmosphere, which scatters the bluer wavelengths of light, leaving only the redder wavelengths to reach the moon. As a result, the moon turns red. The eclipse will begin at 4:50 a.m. when the moon enters Earth's inner shadow, called the umbra. At this time, the moon will begin to darken from the upper left side. The moon will begin to take on a red hue as the darkness will sweep across the moon. The total eclipse will begin at 6:05 a.m. when the moon is completely in Earth's umbra. This is 20 minutes before the moon sets, and the moon will be very low in the sky at this time. The total eclipse will last for 58 minutes, and the entire eclipse event will last for about 3.5 hours. While you probably will not see the total eclipse, it will not be a problem to see the moon begin to darken and turn red. You will have about 1 hour to watch Earth's shadow slowly creep across the face of the moon. The moon will begin to darken and turn red 1.5 hours before sunrise on Tuesday during a total lunar eclipse. If you have any questions, comments, or ideas for future Star Talk segments, my email address is startalk@farmandcountry.org. For Farm and Country and Star Talk, this has been Keith Hubbard reminding you to keep looking up.
And this week, you're in for a special treat because it's our deep dive with Keith Hubbard himself. We're talking the Big Bang Theory. Joining me on the phone now to do our next Star Talk deep dive is Keith Hubbard, our weekly star contributor behind Star Talk. Keith, thank you so much for joining us this morning.
Thank you for having me.
Okay, so this week we are diving into the Big Bang Theory, which I think many of us probably may have learned when we were kids in science class. There's even a famous TV sitcom with the name. But why don't you refresh us exactly what is the Big Bang Theory?
The Big Bang Theory is the theory of the origin of the universe. The theory is that about 13.8 billion years ago, all the matter and energy that exists in the universe was condensed down to a point of singularity. So it's infinitely small, you know, infinitely dense, infinitely hot. Mm-hmm. And something happened to cause that point and all that matter to expand and balloon. And it's been expanding ever since. So that's the kind of the 30-second version of the Big Bang Theory.
And 13.8 billion years, that's like an insanely long amount of time.
Yes.
For the universe to keep expanding. Like, what happened in between then and now?
Very shortly after the universe started expanding, it went through a period of rapid expansion called inflation. Mm. And that's when it ballooned up trillions of times in size. Just in a fraction of a second. And then after that point, for some reason, it stopped expanding that fast, and it's continuing to expand now. In those intervening times, as the space was getting bigger, the matter and energy is getting spread out more, things are starting to cool down a bit. So at the very beginning of the Big Bang, it was tens of billions of degrees Fahrenheit, the temperature, to now, where it's minus 460 degrees Fahrenheit, which is just a few degrees below absolute zero. So in those intervening 13.8 billion years, the universe has cooled down, matter started to clump and collect into galaxies and nebula and stars and planets that we know today.
When was this theory first shared with the world?
It was about 100 years ago.
Wow.
That it was first proposed. There was an astronomer, George Lemaître. He proposed that the universe started as a single point. And then 2 years later, Edwin Hubble observed that galaxies that are not gravitationally attracted to our galaxy are receding from us. And Edwin Hubble's discovery was also that the further the galaxy is away from us, the faster it's moving. Those two points are kind of the origins of the Big Bang Theory itself. It wasn't known as the Big Bang theory until another astronomer, Fred Hoyle, coined that term kind of in a derisive context, because Fred Hoyle did not believe in the Big Bang theory. So he, you know, kind of coined that term as a, you know, the Big Bang theory and as a in jest or to mock it, but the name stuck.
Oh, that's so interesting. I didn't know that the Big Bang theory, the name was kind of coined later on. Well, I'm curious, when the theory was first shared with the world about 100 years ago, what was the reaction from the science community? Was it well received or not so much?
From my understanding, it was a little bit of a mixed bag. Up until you know, this theory was proposed, it was believed that the universe existed in a steady state, meaning it wasn't changing at all. It wasn't expanding. The universe, didn't have an origin, didn't really have a beginning, and it won't have an end. It just is there. And so that was the prevailing thought. And there were a lot of prominent scientists and astronomers that shared that thought. So when this came out, you know, like every new idea, it took some time for more people to get on board with it.
Keith, anything else you want to add or that we should know about the Big Bang Theory?
Yeah, so there's something that I think is really interesting and really, really neat, kind of mind-boggling to try to wrap your head around, too. And that is, you know, we can see back 13.8 billion years. That's sort of, you know, that's as far back as we're able to see. You know, so that means that the furthest objects we see are 13.8 billion light years away. But with the universe expanding, in those 13.8 billion years, that object that we saw was still moving away from us more further. As the universe is expanding at a constant rate, that object that we see as 13.8 billion light years away is in actuality 46 billion light years away.
Wow.
So that just kind of, it gives you a sense of, you know, just how much the universe is expanding and how much it has expanded.
Yeah. Oh my goodness. That's a lot.
Yeah.
That's amazing. And I'm just trying to even picture what 13 billion years, billions of years looks like and what that expansion looks like. And I feel like you talking through that is actually giving me a bit of a picture.
Yeah, it's something really hard to understand, because when a lot of times when you think of something expanding, like a balloon blowing up, well, there's space for the balloon to go into, you know, as it's getting bigger. But with the universe, there's no space for it to go into. Like, the space itself is expanding. And that's a very difficult concept to try to picture.
Yeah, you know, exactly. Well, that was Keith Hubbard, the voice and star behind Star Talk, our weekly segment, breaking down the Big Bang Theory. Keith, thank you so much for joining us this morning.
All right, it's always a pleasure.
A few events from our community calendar. Today, Saturday, from 4 to 7 p.m., you can join us for a part art show, part Radio Catskill fundraiser. A new show at Chester's Creative called Second Marks brings 12 local artists together where they're going to be doing something really interesting. Each of them are going to hand over a finished work to another artist to re-envision and reimagine. Proceeds will go to benefit Radio Catskill. That'll be today at the Chester's Creative in Berryville from 4 to 7 p.m. And tomorrow, March 1st, the Mammocating Environmental Education Center presents a spring amphibian migration training at 1 p.m. Participants will learn how to assist with spring migration for amphibians to their birthing place. You can find more information on all of these events and more at wjffradio.org. That's all for this week's show. This show was produced by the Radio Catskill editorial team and post-production by Ronald Kelson. Stick around. Up next, it's Travels with Triggs. You're listening to Radio Catskill, local news, culture, and PR. I'll catch you next week.
Support for Radio Catskill comes from Morgan Outdoors, celebrating 20 years as a local source for hiking, snowshoeing, and discovering the great outdoors. On Main Street in Hurleyville, near the rail trail. Morgan-outdoors.com.
This Week in This American Life, as David will tell you, he was an assistant, not a secretary.
Instead of National Secretary's Day, we assistants had our own folk traditions with our own holidays, one of which we celebrated often, almost nightly.